California Dreamin', Mama Cass, the mamas and the papas, and we're California Dreamin' because we've got the former Speaker of the California State Assembly, John Perez, in studio. John, welcome.
Thanks for having me, John.
I'm so happy to have you here. I was trying to tell Jason earlier how long I've known you. I don't even know, 20 years, 25, 30?
Over 25, but I don't know that we want to count beyond that.
No, because then they'll guess my age. We don't want to do that. We don't want to do that. How did you... to become the second most powerful person in California after the governor, that's a rags to riches story, I'm sure.
It is.
Tell me how you got started.
Well, I grew up in LA when it looked a lot like it does today, but when representational politics didn't look like it did today. There were only a handful of Latinos in state office. There had never been an openly gay person in state office. And California, like much of the country, had engaged in really bad patterns of districting that denied people the right to choose candidates of their own choice. And so I got involved as a 14-year-old fighting for fair districts, fighting for a ballot measure that would have looked at how federal taxes are spent on the military-industrial complex and how many more jobs you can create if they were spent on peace dividend-type jobs. And that was my beginning in politics, just fighting for basic questions of representation, never really even thinking that it would be possible as a young, at that point, closeted gay Latino kid that I'd have a chance to be in office. And I was, quite frankly, satisfied helping other people get elected. And the world kept changing, and I happened to be in the right place at the right time to run for office all those years later.
And you, you were a labor activist, right? SEIU, I think?
Very briefly SEIU, mm-hmm. but I was the head of the political department of the AFL-CIO for California, and I represented for many years the United Food and Commercial Workers, which is grocery, drug, and meat, in California and the West. But I really got my start representing construction workers.
Oh, really?
And so here I was, this young gay kid organizing construction workers.
Yeah. Sounds like a tough job. Kidding.
But counterintuitive. Here are a bunch of folks who you think would be
anti-gay,
right. Who were just completely embracing of somebody who was willing to roll up their sleeves and work side by side and fight to make sure that they got a fair shot in life. And if you actually look at the history of gay elected officials in California, that's not an uncommon story. The first time that Harvey Milk ran, the Teamsters Union was with him when the organized gay community wasn't with him.
Right.
So there's an interesting history there.
Yeah, very, very true. And then you got elected to the state assembly.
I got elected in 2008.
And let's see, Sheila Kuehl was the first, and John Laird.
So in 1994, yeah. Sheila Kuehl became the first openly LGBT person elected to the California legislature. Mm-hmm. In 1995, you had Carol Migdon coming in.
Yeah.
And then quickly thereafter, you had Jackie Goldberg, and then John Laird and Mark Leno was the first two gay men together later. But then we started declining again. So in 2008, when I was elected, had I not been elected, Tom Omiano was running that year as well. We were the only two gay folks in the assembly.
Mm.
There were two in the Senate.
Mm-hmm.
We had made progress and then quickly backslid. And so in 2008, it was just Tom and I in the assembly, and I was the first openly gay person of color ever elected in California to the legislature.
Mm-hmm.
And so the same day that the voters in my district voted to elect me by 85%+ of the vote, by 54% of the vote, they told me I couldn't get married.
Ah, Prop 8 on the same ballot.
Same ballot.
Wow.
So I'm celebrating the election of Barack Obama. I'm celebrating my own election and then getting the message.
But, we got discriminated against.
But, don't get ahead of yourself here.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
To become an assembly speaker, though, you've got to put together a broad coalition of people who are not LGBT to make you their leader.
Look, it took, in the end, it took 41 votes because there's 80 members of the assembly. There were two gay folks, me and Tom. So that's clearly not the winning strategy.
One with two. Right.
So yes, it was putting together a broad base, and I didn't want to be speaker. It was the worst part of the Great Recession, a $60 billion deficit, having to make very difficult decisions. I was happy just plugging away, doing my work, fighting on issues that I cared about. But folks came to me and said, no, you've got to step up. This is the leadership we need. And partially, it was because I was too naive to know I shouldn't be doing things. So 3 months into office, we had passed our second budget of the year. And Arnold Schwarzenegger violated the Constitution as it was interpreted before and made retroactive cuts. And I went to the leaders and said, we need to sue and block him. And they didn't think it was a winning strategy. So I said, well, do you mind if I do it myself? I went to court and tried to block him and created some real interesting momentum. And I think that caught the attention of my colleagues and laid the foundation. So on my one-year anniversary in the legislature, I had the votes to be speaker.
Wow. So within 1 year, that's amazing.
On my actual one-year anniversary.
They must have seen then that passion in your intelligence and your commitment, all those things.
Either that or my naivete and my willingness to take on a really crazy
let's ask
challenge.
John. He'll do anything. Let's ask John Perez. So is it better to be feared or loved?
It's better for the right people to do each, right? Okay. So somebody once said of me that I like to be loved, I love to be feared, but I demand to be respected.
Mm. Mm.
And I think it's pretty accurate assessment of kind of my worldview. Mm-hmm. I hope that the people that I want to, whose love I want to earn, think it's worthy of giving it to me.
Mm-hmm.
I hope that the people who know that they shouldn't pick certain fights have the appropriate level of fear.
Yeah.
But I hope either respect the integrity with which I try to approach what we do.
Wow. What are you most proud of? I mean, your term as speaker and running the California House.
I mean, there are several things, right? So I inherited a $60 billion deficit, got us out of that through really ugly long fights, the longest budget battle in the history of the state of California, but saved 80% of what we were trying to do. Created the change in the Constitution so that we have simple majority budgeting now for the first time in decades. So we now have regular budgeting that gets passed. Our creditworthiness is improved. I created the Rainy Day Fund, which is now over $20 billion. I created the first in the country health benefit exchange. The first implementation of Obamacare was my legislation here in California,
cool.
Requiring a Republican governor's signature. I did the first major expansion of Medicaid. So there are literally millions of Californians who have health insurance as a result of my legislation. I created the Middle Class Scholarship, which makes college more affordable, which is near and dear to my heart. All of those are really important, but it's the little things that people don't know. I was taking a state trip to Armenia, and they wanted to have me fly through Russia to get there, and I said, I can't fly through Russia. Putin's just banned, the existence of gay people in the essence of his action. I refused to spend a nickel even in transit. So the whole delegation took a longer trip, and we get to Armenia, and somebody had entered in the Armenian parliament the same kind of legislation, criminalizing homosexuality and even the us discussing who we are. And so I'm meeting with the president and I'm meeting with the prime minister, and I said, Mr. Prime Minister, I need to ask you for a parliamentary favor. He says, no, you don't. He says, I know why you didn't fly through Russia. He was speaker at the time. He later went on to be prime minister. He said, as long as I'm speaker, that bill will never get passed.
Oh.
And I know that he made that commitment based on his concern for the relationship with California. And had somebody else been in the room, the question would have never been asked. And who knows what would have happened in the parliament of Armenia that year.
See, this is proof why we have to have LGBT people at the table. So you get to make deals like that. I never heard that story. I've heard a lot of, what you've done, but that story I've never heard of.
Yeah, there've been several cases like that that don't get a lot of attention, but you hope have a big impact on people.
Yeah. Gang, when we come back, we're going to talk to Speaker Perez about the state of the nation and politics as he sees it. So thanks for tuning in to Sidebar with John Duran here on Channel Q. Jason, please tell me you do know this is the Eagles, right? Please tell me, my young millennial, you do know.
I may be young, but this is a classic.
Okay, thank you. Hotel California. We are talking to former California State Assembly Speaker John Perez. And thank you again, John, for joining us today.
Great to be here.
So looking at the state of the nation, I mean, we have people that are listening in 27 cities, but we know a lot of people are listening in really small towns and rural areas online. And as a people, LGBT people, or people who care about social justice or equality, where should we focus? There seem to be so many fires burning all at the same time. What do you think our priorities should be?
Look, I think you have to focus on all of them, because you can't be silent around any of the issues that are impacting people. When I look at this stuff, I think back to one of the most important readings I ever had the opportunity to look at, which is Dr. King's letter from Birmingham jail. And actually, I had his lawyer in the Capitol who snuck the paper into the jail, and the paper and pencil that Dr. King used to write the letter. And at the core, you know, with no reference material, he writes this incredible treatise on justice and law. And he quotes and makes reference to Thomas Aquinas. And he says, any law that upholds human personality is just. And any law that denigrates human personality is unjust. And that's the prism by which I think we have to look at this. So I don't think we can pick and choose where we stand up and voice opposition to things that are unjust and denigrate human personality. So when you see kids separated from their parents and held in cages, you have to stand up. When you see people being gunned down because the rhetoric has gotten so ugly and because our gun laws are so irrational, you have to stand up. When you see each of these questions, when you see the limitations on folks being able to access right to reproductive health care, you have to stand up. So I don't think we have the luxury of picking and choosing. Now, we can't focus on little picky stuff when there's big stuff that needs to be addressed, but we've got to be fully engaged on every front. When this president passed the first attempt at the Muslim ban, I showed up like thousands of others at airports around the country with a sign that said "Ban Banyan, not Muslims" at LAX. And what was amazing to me is there was a group of folks surrounding me who were Orthodox Jews who a simplistic view of the world would think are in opposition to the Muslim community.
Right.
But they understood the commonality of what was happening. And so it was a beautiful cross-section of LA there, saying that we cannot quietly stand by and see anybody be dehumanized and marginalized in this way. And at event after event, in opposition to what we're seeing going on in the country, it's really been powerful to see the cross-sections of our community that stand up. So whatever is easiest for you to get to, start with, but don't stop with just that.
No. You know, to me, looking at the next 50 years, and granted, I'm, you know, of a certain age. I may only have...
I'm just behind a certain age, so I understand.
So, but I'm worried about the Supreme Court and the trajectory the Supreme Court will take our people, not just LGBT people, but the nation as a whole. So I don't want Donald Trump to get one more Supreme Court appointment. So that means not only taking the White House, but the Senate as well. What do you think our odds are?
I think it is going to be tough, but I think we can take the White House. I think we have to not think that we can game out where the last fight was and only focus there. We need to focus in every single state in this country. Yes, a state like California will overwhelmingly vote against Donald Trump, and so there's some liberty for folks from here to go help in Arizona and Nevada. But if you're in a state that's not an absolute lock, you've got to get in your car on the weekend and go help in a neighboring state where your participation makes a difference. Because we've got to go fight in every single state, both for the presidential vote and for Senate votes, as
yes.
you said.
Yeah.
And you're right. The Supreme Court is crucially at stake. I mean, I stay up at nights praying for Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
Me too.
Who actually will be in California in a couple of weeks.
I can't wait to hear her speak. I love her. She's an amazing life story.
She is absolutely brilliant. And if you think of how improbable it was for a woman in her day to have the life trajectory that she's had, it makes it all the more powerful.
Hearing you say that, I'm looking at you thinking the same thing. To think that a young gay Latino kid from East LA would end up becoming the powerful speaker of the Assembly, that's a life trajectory as well.
It is a very unusual one. My current role is even in some ways more unusual. You know, when I left the legislature, the governor put me on the Board of Regents. I had been its speaker, but he put me on. And if you remember, Sheldon Adelson was the first ever openly gay person. Brown won appointment in 1981.
Yeah.
Think about it. I was the second.
Wow. That's a whole lot of space between those two appointments.
Way too much space. Way too much space. And I now chair the deal. And, you know, we just had a med student come and talk about the fact that they were still being dead named, right? So their credentials as a med student had their name based on the birth name assigned to them as opposed to their true identity. Mm. And so to think that, you know, in a state as progressive as California, at a school as progressive as UCLA, that we're still figuring out how to get it right. Mm. And it just reminds me of how far more we have to come, especially for our trans brothers and sisters and folks who are non-binary, whose lives are impacted every day by just dumb assumptions a lot of times and then cruel assumptions and actions so many other times.
The level of hateful violence against trans people, especially trans women, is shocking.
Yeah.
Just shocking. What about racism within the LGBT community? You think, I think things are better. People still think I'm tan. You know, I have to bring mariachis around West Hollywood every now and then to show them I am still Mexican.
Look, it's the issues of society don't escape us as a community. We're not immune from issues of class. We're not immune from issues of race. And we're clearly not immune from issues of sexism. We've come a long way, but we clearly have a long way to go. It's not like the days when, as a black or brown man, you'd have to have 5 forms of ID to get into the club.
Mm-hmm.
But there are still a lot of issues we have to work on.
Mm. And you're still in the fight. And so proud to know
you've got
to
you've got to be in the fight everywhere you go, mm-hmm. And you've got to bring other people up. It's you talk about being first is nice. More important not to be last.
Yes.
Right. So
yes.
So I got.
Ooh, elected, I'm going to steal that.
Yeah,
I'm going to steal that.
So I get elected speaker. Then Gordon Fox got elected in Maine, and then Mark Ferrandino in Colorado, and Tina Kotek in Oregon. So all in very quick succession. But more importantly, when I left the legislature, my successor was the first lesbian ever to be speaker in California.
Tony Atkins from San Diego.
Yeah. And she's now the first lesbian to be head of the state Senate and the first person ever to head both houses of California, right? So nice to be first, but more important not to be last.
Not to be last. That's so, so cool. I love that.
Yeah,
my first was the first gay Latino in California. That was my first. Yeah, but you're right. Now that we've got Ricardo Lara, obviously, insurance commissioner, and we've got Mayor Long Beach.
Yep.
Robert Garcia, and so many others.
And a lot of others around the country.
Mm-hmm.
Potentially a member of Congress from San Diego in the next year. Lesbian Latina, obviously, you've seen, young folks call it intersectionality. We just saw, commonality and fight. We didn't have the term intersectionality when we were engaged in some of these fights in the
beginning. So true.
Yeah.
Last week, we had a couple of mayors, John Bowders from Emeryville and Jeff Kors from Palm Springs, talking about climate change.
Yep.
Anything in parting remarks about climate change?
Look, it is the existential challenge of our time. I love the sign that says, it's one thing to have a plan B. We do not have a planet B. it is the most important. And so we have to be engaged in both big fights and little fights around the future of our planet. I'm proud of the work that we're doing at the university. We're going to be carbon neutral in the next few years at all 10 University of California campuses. I'm actually doing a trip to Mexico City in a couple of weeks to talk about joint relationships between the state of California and the federal government of Mexico around climate approaches. I was at The Hague a couple of years ago dealing with members both of the EU and of the Dutch parliament on different approaches that we could involve ourselves with on an international basis around climate change. This really is the challenge of our time, and whether we have any more time.
Very good point. We are run out of time. I'm so happy that you came. I hope you'll come again.
Thank you for having me. I'd love to.
Oh, so awesome. Ladies and gentlemen, Speaker John Perez of the California State Assembly. Good pal. When we come back, we'll be talking to the women who are organizing the Women's Arts Festival out in Palm Springs. Thanks for tuning in to Sidebar with John Duran here on Channel Q.
Sidebar with John Duran.
We'll be right back.
The new Channel Q.